ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, entitled Attaining the Supreme. Text numbers 25 and 26. Dhumo,
Dhumo,
Ratris,
Ratris,
Satha,
Satha,
Krishnaha,
Krishnaha,
Shan,
Shan,
Masa,
Masa,
Dakshinayanam,
Dakshinayanam,
Tatra,
Tatra,
Chandramasam,
Chandramasam,
Jyotir,
Jyotir,
Yogi,
Yogi,
Prapya,
Prapya,
Nivartate,
Nivartate,
Dhumo Ratristata Krishna
Dhumo Ratristata Krishna
Dhumo Ratristata Krishna
Dhumo Ratristata Krishna
Shanmasa Dakshinayanam
Shanmasa Dakshinayanam
Shanmasa Dakshinayanam
Shanmasa Dakshinayanam
Tatra Chandrama Samjyotir
Tatra Chandrama Samjyotir
Tatra Chandrama Samjyoti
Tatra Chandrama Samjyoti
Yogi Prapya Nivartate
Yogi Prapya Nivartate
Yogi Prapya Nivartate
Yogi Prapya Nivartate
Dhumo Ratristata Krishna
Dhumo Ratristata Krishna
Shanmasa Dakshinayanam
Shanmasa Dakshinayanam
Tatra Chandrama Samjyotir
Tatra Chandrama Samjyotir
Yogi Prapya Nivartate
Yogi Prapya Nivartate
It's funny, in America people trip over each other to chant.
Ratrihi
Ratrihi
Night
Nice.
Tatha,
Tatha,
also.
Also.
Krishnaha,
Krishnaha,
the fortnight of the dark moon.
The fortnight of the dark moon.
Shatmasaha,
Shatmasaha,
the 6 months.
Six months.
Dakshinayanam,
Dakshinayanam,
when the sun passes on the southern side.
When the sun passes on the southern side.
Tatra,
Tatra,
there.
Yeah.
Chandra Masam,
Chandra Masam,
the moon planet.
Jyotihi, Jyotihi,
the light.
Light.
Yogi,
Yogi,
the mystic.
Mystic.
Prapya,
Prapya,
achieving.
Achieving.
Nivartate,
Nivartate,
comes back.
Comes back.
Translation. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. Purport. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni mentions that those who are expert in fruitive activities and sacrificial methods on earth attain to the moon at death. These elevated souls live on the moon for about 10,000 years, by demigod calculations, and enjoy life by drinking soma rasa. They eventually return to the earth. This means that on the moon there are higher classes of living beings, though they may not be perceived by the gross senses. Dhumo Ratristata Krishna Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandrama Samjyotir Yogi Prapya Nivartate. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. Narayana means the ultimate resting place of the soul. Everyone is searching after happiness. We are all pleasure-seeking beings. We're searching for Purna Amrit. Amrit means nectar, it means pleasure, it means the ultimate happiness. So we want complete, Purna Amrit means the complete happiness. And nothing else will satisfy us until we are home again. Just like in a room full of ladies, when one lady has just gotten a new baby, maybe she's had that baby for a few weeks or months or whatever, so the baby is very attached to his mother. So every other lady wants to give blessings to the baby, so they'll all handle the baby. And sometimes we see the baby starts to cry. So every lady will try to stop the baby from crying, and maybe they will pass the baby from hand to hand. But the baby will only stop crying when he gets back to home, back to mommy. So in the same way, we will only stop crying when we reach Krishna's lotus feet. In the material world, there are unlimited opportunities for sense gratification. Bahu shaka hi anantasya. Ananta means unlimited. Shaka means branches. So just like the branches of a banyan tree are unlimited, similarly the paths the mind can take to contrive some type of pleasure. And I say contrive because ultimately it is temporary, and therefore it's not pleasure. It's not ananda. It is simply the absence of distress. And that is not happiness. It has not satisfied us in the past. It is not giving us any deep satisfaction at present. And there's no reason to think that in the future it will give us happiness. Just like if you take a graph, a line graph, and you draw certain points on the graph, you can extrapolate. When your data is finished, you want to know where the curve goes. Because there's a pattern to the curve on a graph, you can say that in the future, we will get to here, to this point. You can draw the line even though you don't have further data, because you already have a curve. That's mathematics. So, we can extrapolate. We've not been happy in the past by sense gratification. We're not present at presently. We're not happy. In the future, we will not be happy simply by getting more of the same thing. Einstein said that one kind of madness is to think that if we continue doing the same things in the same way as we have already done them, that we'll get a different result. That's madness. You're going to get the same result as you've always had. But any intelligent person can understand that life is not worth living if it is just a question of some good times and some bad times and then death without any meaning. In America, there's a t-shirt that they sell. Americans are great for their t-shirts. How many of you have had an American t-shirt with a slogan on it? Huh? Come on, don't lie. So this particular t-shirt is quite self-realized. I won't use the four-letter word that they use. I'll use a five-letter word. But it says, I've seen it, it's quite, when I first saw it, I thought, wow, there's some hope. It says, same stool, different day. That's what life is. Same stool, different day. It's the same business. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. We were talking about this the other day. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So, even if you think that if you go to England or you go to America, you can get a better standard of sense gratification and be happy, there's always something better. You'll never be satisfied. Dusparena analenacha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the senses are always burning. They're always agitating you. Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadva. So many desires are coming into the mind. You go out in society and your eyes and your other senses take down impressions, like sensors. And then that stimuli is processed in the brain. And you create a kind of concept of enjoyment. You do the whole thing in your mind. There's no actual happiness in the object. You do the whole business in your mind. Therefore, they say one man's pleasure is another man's poison, because it's all in the mind. In the Bhagavatam, there's an example given of a beautiful waterfall cascading down 100 feet. And at the bottom, there's a nice lake with the most colorful, aromatic flowers everywhere. And swans, beautiful white swans swimming, and cuckoos crowing, and everything is so beautiful. But if there's no person there to enjoy it, there's no happiness in that situation. It's not like, you know, there's vibrations of happiness coming out from it. It takes a person to go there and conceive. A swan-like person, crow-like person, he'll be in the beer parlor with smoke all over the place and half-naked women running around, and those are his swans. Therefore, it is said there are crow-like men and there are swan-like men. And the happiness of swan-like men is not appealing to the crow-like men, and vice versa. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagarti bhutani. Yasyam jagarti bhutani sa nisha pashyato mune. The muni, his happiness is in chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I think that's the tune that they use in, where is it?
Alika.
Alika. The tune they chant there. I was learning it in the car. And the crow-like men, they're afraid. They're not attracted to Krishna's holy name. They think that they can go to some heavenly planet for better sense gratification. A devotee knows that sense gratification is the cause of his suffering. Yehi sansparsaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. This is the cause of my suffering. I am eternal spirit soul. I have nothing to do with this material body. Because I'm attached to it, through my lust for sense gratification, therefore I am experiencing old age. I'm eternal, but I'm getting old. It's such an irony. It's such a contradiction. It's an embarrassment to the soul. I'm eternal, but I'm going to die. I'm full of knowledge, but I failed my exam. I'm full of bliss if I just could get rid of that pain in my leg and, my hair weren't falling off, or, my teeth weren't getting rotten, or, I'm actually full of bliss, but a few minor problems. It's a contradiction. And it's all caused by the type of civilization that we have created. These things are not difficult to understand when you're here in the temple and when we're discussing Krishna Katha, when we're reading from the Shastra, when we're doing devotional service. These things are easy to understand. But when we go out into society and we see all the sinful activities going full speed ahead, people trying so hard, they want to be happy, they're seeking pleasure, and they just smash their heads against the wall every time, and they don't learn. An intelligent person, he can learn by hearing. Ascharyavat paschati kaschit enam. Ascharyavat vadati tathaiva chanya. Ascharyavat chanya anya shrinoti. Intelligent person learns by hearing. He doesn't have to experience. He can understand from others' experience. He can understand from extrapolation, logic, reason. He doesn't have to engage in sinful activities because he knows that why should I just decorate a dead body like a Christmas tree? You have Christmas trees here?
Yes.
Yeah? And you put ornaments on them and dance around the Christmas tree. Yeah? You do that? Yeah? Dead tree. It's a dead tree. And we decorate it with ornaments and then dance around it. The body's a dead tree. And people want to decorate it and enjoy it and it's madness. But a devotee can understand by hearing that that is not the path that I want to go on. It doesn't lead anywhere. Follow it to its end. Where does it lead? What do you get paid? What's the final payment that your employer gives you? Old age, disease, and death. How many of you would work for an employer who paid you zilch at the end of your term of employment? Paid you zero. Zilch in American slang. You learn something when you invite an American speaker. You get nothing from this body. It's just a source of trouble. And we go through the illusion of dying. At every moment we're getting closer. And the world is such a dangerous place. At any moment, we could be kicked out. We try to become secure. We try to set up something nicely. We make big, big plans. But kamala dala jala jivana tala mala baju haripada. Just like a lotus flower with a little drop of morning dew, morning a bead of water on the lotus flower. You see on the pond, you can see them in India, a nice lotus flower, beautiful lotus flower. And the little beads of water, the sun shining down, oh, very exquisite. And then you know why they say lotus eyes, lotus mouth. Because it's very beautiful in this world. But you can also learn something from that beautiful lotus flower. A little breeze comes and the beads of water go sliding off. And that's the position we're in, on a tottering platform. Very tenuous, very uncertain. There's no security. Therefore, going to higher planets and drinking soma ras, whatever it is, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punara Vartino Arjuna, again, you have to come back. Just like, you know, you graduate from college and your father comes up and, good work, son, here's your ticket to Disneyland, and you're all fired up, you know, and you go to Disneyland, and you, just when you're starting to enjoy, and you think, wow, I'd like to stay here in America, make a million, and then your visa's up. And the government says, out. It's like that. You go to the heavenly planets, and wow, everybody's beautiful here, I'm beautiful. Wow, you drink this intoxication. Whew, whoa, boy. Some more of that soma ras, you know. And, whoa, sex, no pregnancy. Whoa, go for it. And, you know, just, and then, you know, even after, you know, 10 zillion years or whatever it is they live up there, it ends. It ends. It all ends. A house fly is under the same illusion. He's born. He plays with his baby house fly friends. Goes to school, gets a good education, gets married to that sweet little house fly down the rose bush. Has a family of house flies, and you know, after 2 weeks he's dead. It's all the same, just relative. Doesn't matter. It all ends. Purnamrit, the thing that is going to bring us lasting satisfaction. We have a right to be happy. We all have a right to be happy. And we're going about it the wrong way. We've got the wrong paradigm. We're living in darkness. Tamasi ma, come out from darkness, Krishna says. Jyotirgama, come to me, come to the light, Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like the light. Krishna is the guiding light. Krishna is the supreme person. And we are small persons. And we just want to fall in love with Krishna. That's all we have to do. We have to learn to fall in love with Krishna. And we do that through seva. Just like a young Indian girl. Her parents choose a husband for her. Now in the West they think, oh, how barbaric. Those poor people, they'll never be happy. Well, they don't have 60% divorce rate. In most of the villages and towns, you know, it's very small percentage. In the cities, they're learning Western ways. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Unfortunately, they're being contaminated by good old idiot box, Michael Jackson and television. Actually, Brezhnev. Was it Brezhnev or Andropov? I think it was Brezhnev. He said, at the height of his power, he said, we have only two things to fear, comrades.
Hare Krishna and Western rock music. And now we've combined both. It was really dangerous.
But it's a fact that people, they get contaminated by what they see on the television. I'll never forget the day, when they first introduced, formerly, you know, all you could see on, you had a choice of channels to watch. You could either watch Channel 1, and if you didn't like Channel 1, then you could watch Channel 1. You know, it was government-controlled television, and that was it. It was about as dull as a rotten potato. I mean, you have potatoes for, you know, an akkadisi. Have you ever been to one of those akkadisis where you have potato porridge in the morning, potato chips at noon, and potato salad at night? potato. So then they got Star TV. They had 5 channels. And they even had, rock music channel?
MTV.
They got MTV. So I went to Bangalore, and I was visiting the temple there, and I went to One Life member's house. And there was this, you know, big, fat, old Indian mama, you know, I mean, they eat a lot of ghee and stuff. You know, they don't jog enough. But anyway, there was this, probably, you know, like pious as anything, probably never ate meat in her life, probably never even swore in her life, or maybe once or something. But, you know, really pious lady. But there she was. She didn't know English, but she was sitting in front of the television watching MTV. I couldn't believe that. But it'll go in her brain, you know, she'll get, you know, it'll all get rotten, infected. So people, you can learn to enjoy anything in this material world, but, you know, you miss the real purpose of human life. Human life is, it's really about learning to love Krishna. So, yeah, anyway, back to the Indian family. The young girl, her husband is chosen for her. And Prabhupada said his grandmother was married when she was 8 years old. And he said that his own daughter was not married by 12 or 13, and his wife threatened to throw herself in the Ganges and commit suicide. Because what happened, it's not like the 8-year-old girl goes to her husband's house and they start having babies or something, you know, it's not like that. She will get a husband. And she knows in her mind, psychologically, I've got my husband. He will protect me. And she doesn't think of it. It's out of her mind now. She's got her husband. He will take care of me. He will provide for me. He will protect me. And she engages in service from 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever. She does some service. He does some service for her. Little things, take him some prasadam that she helped her mother cook, or, you know, whatever, take her some flowers, something like that. Some service they do, mutual service. When she is 16 and he is 20-something, then they may live together and start their family. She's young, her body's strong, healthy, she has her children, she reaches 30, 35, had all her children, she can have her second life, her career. Very scientific, very intelligent, the right way to do things. But the point is that the love that she develops for her husband comes through their mutual service. And there's no problem about staying together for their entire lives because they have a good service attitude. And in the same way, this process of sadhana bhakti is training us to serve the deity, to serve the spiritual master. And if we follow the process, it works. we develop emotional attachment for Krishna. Strong attachment for Krishna. And at the time of death, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram, according to your mental proclivity, according to your mental situation, at the time of death, you go in that direction. If you think of the demigods in Somarasa, you can go there. If you think of the forefathers, Pitrinam, then you can go there. Yanti Deva, Vrata Devan, Pitrin Bhanti, Pitravataha, Yanti Bhutani, Bhuteja. If you somehow or other think of ghosts and spirits, I know people who are ghost worshippers in America. There's so many ghost worshippers. And they think they're going to get some benefit in this lifetime. Maybe they do, I don't know. Something's churning them onwards. Something's pushing them. Everybody does whatever they do in this world because they're getting some taste from it, some rasa. But where is that rasa leading them? That's what I want to know. Did they think of the end? Did they think past this one lifetime? They have no vision. Everything stops. Their only intelligence, their only a vision is beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow enjoy in this lifetime because at the end it's all finished. There's no retribution. There's no punishment. Just enjoy at any cost. But they have no philosophy of life. Why do we see that some people are born in Rwanda? Now, why were they born there? They're human beings. They're spirit souls. They're human beings. They're people. They're nice people. You have a family. You have your children. You have your place in society. You feel that you're a decent person. They're also decent people. Very nice people in Rwanda. But they suffer incredibly. At every moment, they're fearing for their lives. Now, what made them be born in that hellish condition? Why is it that someone's born in a situation where they can never be vegetarian? You know? Why is it someone can only eat whale blubber? You know, they live in ice, their house is made of ice, everything's ice, Eskimos, you know. In my country we have Eskimos up in the north. And they're born there and they're used to that, and for them that's their life, but it's a hellish life. Because what goes around comes around, the poet said. For every action, there's a reaction. Whatever you do in this life, you're going to get a reaction. And you're going to take birth again and be punished for your sinful activities. So, think about it. Wake up. Think about life. Think about what you want to do. Think about how you're going to be happy. Think what your purpose is. It's not difficult. Bhakti yoga is very nice, very easy, sublime, simultaneously easy and sublime. Susukam kartum abhyayam. It's a joyful process. So kick out this idea of anything better. Fix your mind on practicing devotional service to Krishna. And you will be happy both in this life and in the next. It's just a question of following the Supreme Person. We have to follow somebody's orders. You can't avoid following somebody's rules, somebody's orders. People say, I want to be free. I don't want to be bounded by your rules and regulations. But they're bound by someone else's rules and regulations. They buy a Porsche car or a Lamborghini or a Maserati, you know, and they're driving. They can only go 50 kilometers an hour. What's the use in having a Maserati when you can only go 50 kilometers an hour and there's a traffic jam and you can't even go 50? You make every effort to get free, to be as fast as the wind, you know. But you'll get stopped because this is the material world. This is a place of suffering. And in your next life, who knows, maybe you'll be a rubber tree and become a wheel on that Maserati or something. For all your sinful activities. The way people, you know, are getting worse and worse in this Kali Yuga, you want to live naked. Talk about heavenly planets. Those living beings there have a much higher standard than we have. When Maharaj Santanu, when he jumped up from the bed and chased after Ganga Devi naked, she rejected him. She said, I never want to see you naked. Now you're here naked, running around. She left immediately. He wanted to know why she was killing his children. But she told him, the moment you disobey these conditions, then I'll leave. So Prabhupada comments that in the higher planetary systems, people have a much higher standard of consciousness, even though they have facility for sense enjoyment. I've seen, even in India, amongst pious families, and I've had a lot of experience, I have a lot of friends amongst wealthy people and aristocratic people. They're vegetarians, they have very strict moral standards and codes, but they work together, they have a lot of money, they have servants, they have this, that, and they enjoy. They enjoy more in the mode of goodness, that's all. They have no major problems with ulcers. They have no major problems with family problems. They know how to work those out. They have no major problems in the material world. And at the end, they chant Hare Krishna many times. Or at least they'll Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. They'll get another chance. They give nice donations to devotees. They come and attend all of them. They're pious. And they enjoy. But they have pious enjoyment. And we're simply taking it a step higher. We want transcendental enjoyment. So, you can wait until your next lifetime and, you know, go step by step, be born in a pious family and, you know, try and go gradually. But I wouldn't take that chance. Because Kali Yuga is getting worse and worse. Worse and worse. So, Krishna is mentioning these things here. He's mentioning simply for your information. But his final instruction is, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Whatever I've told you before, just keep it as knowledge. But the real thing is, you just work for me. You give the fruits of your work for me. You bow down to me. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. You become my devotee. Surrender to my representative, the spiritual master. Take to the process. I will protect you. You can come to me. At any time, Krishna says, you can come to him in your prayer, by chanting. You can come to him in the temple, to see his deity form. You can come to him by hearing his holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitam Nirasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Binatvam Nama Namino. No difference between the holy name and Krishna. Therefore, we were reading a verse the other day. I have one of my god brothers. He sends around verse of the day on email. His name is Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's a great, great sadhu. One of the best book distributors in the world. Navina Nirad is good, but Vaisheshika is already in the Hall of Fame. Book Distributor Hall of Fame. I think so. Anyway, they're both good. They're both great, but Vaisheshika, he's great. And so anyway, he's anywhere in the USA. He probably would send to Croatia if you paid for the 800 phone call. But he sent this really nice verse from the what was the Shastra? Krishna Bhajanamrit? No, what was it?
No.
Anyway, I forget, some remote scripture. Really beautiful, not remote, but just not something that we read every day. And beautiful verse, praising the glories of Krishna, but it was, the devotee was offering his prayers to the holy name. Wherever, you know, Krishna plays a flute, it's like, you know, the holy name is playing his flute, you know. In other words, Bhaktivinod Thakur also, he said, Dear Lord, please forgive me. When I chant your name, my chanting is offensive, inattentive and offensive. And I feel like I'm bruising your body. I'm hitting your body and bruising it by my chanting. So there's, the holy name is Krishna. When you're chanting Krishna's name, he dances on your tongue. So you can serve Krishna in so many ways, and Krishna will take charge of your life and protect you, and you never will have any worries. You never need to have any worries. If you have worries, then you're not following Prabhupada's instructions to have no worries. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy and have no worries. Right here, not on the heavenly planets, not somewhere else, right here in Rijeka. Imagine that. You don't have to go anywhere. You can be happy right here in Rijeka. Before the war, during the war, or after the war. Doesn't matter. You can be happy right now by chanting Krishna's name, and you can go on being happy 24 hours a day. Just take shelter of the holy name. And you don't have to take soma rasa. You do have to eat prasadam, but that's another kind of rasa. So are there any questions or comments? Yes?
What was the verse of Vaisheshika Prabhu? Yes.
You got me. I didn't memorize it. I'll send it to you. Yeah? Okay?
Okay.
It's a great verse. You can post it up. Yeah? You have a bulletin board here?
Yes.
It's on the broken door there. I love this place. This place is great. Really, when I saw them take down the doors. Classic. When the crowd gets bigger, do you take the windows out? Maybe the walls come off? Ha 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 ha.
In India, we have open-air temples. And we have no problem. 10 million people sometimes do come. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.